Blog Talk Radio. Gentlemen, you're just joining us, Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole, ladies and gentlemen, host and facilitator. Coming up after some quick announcements, hey, I want you guys to tweet out LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, just to listen in tonight on the program with Dr. Cole. The number is 347-843-4559. It's going to be another powerful show, ladies and gentlemen. The number 347-843-4559. Again, welcome to Kingdom Life Worship Center online women's book discussion with your host facilitator, Dr. Sharon Cole, nurse practitioner, business owner, minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the book discussion that those out there have and have been following Dr. Cole on is the book discussion for the next few shows will be Cultivate My Heart by Pastor Vera Warner. Once again, the book Cultivate My Heart by Pastor Vera Warner. What a powerful, powerful opportunity there. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be some more announcements come up a little later on, but we want to get right to it because Dr. Cole is busy, and I'm sure all of y'all are busy as well. But if you don't mind, let's put your hands together as we open up the mic for Dr. Sharon Cole. Welcome, Dr. Cole.
All right. Thank you, Elder Kevin. Thank you. Hi, this is Dr. Cole, and welcome to Chapter 7. I know we had mentioned that we would do Chapter 7 and 8, but we're actually going to do just Chapter 7. I got caught up with it a little bit. It was really a good chapter. It was really near and dear to my heart. So we are going to get started, and thanks to those that are on the line. I was kind of looking around today just kind of to lighten the mood or whatever for something on benevolent. And I kind of found this. It may sound corny to you all, but I actually got a good chuckle out of it. And I actually thought about some of the things that we do when it comes to, you know, we get the calls or whatever. We're always getting a robocalls and, you know, trying to sell us something or trying to take our money or whatever. You know how it goes. So one day this man, he was sitting down to read the paper. I mean, he had worked hard all week. It was a Sunday. He was sitting down to read the Sunday paper, and he hears a knock at the door. To the door, open the door, and he's confronted by a snail on his doorstep. So the snail says, "Good evening." He says, "I'm collecting for the Snail Benevolent Fund." And he said, would you care to donate? So the snail, he gets ready for the reply from the man. The man looks at him. He said, you have got to be kidding. So he looks at the snails and kicks them into the bushes on the side of the porch. And 10 years later, there's another knock at the door. The man opens the door, and he finds the same snail on the doorsteps. And the snail looks up at him and goes, now, that wasn't nice. So I just thought that was kind of cute, and especially with the vein that we're going to be in tonight with the benevolent heart. I just really thought it was a cute joke. So in getting started, Pastor V, I like the way she really kind of broke this down as far as Luke chapter 10, verse 33, when she talked about the benevolent heart. And we're going to kind of go through it pretty much chapter, not really chapter by chapter, but verse by verse. So as we begin to look at it, we notice that there's a expert, and he kind of, expert in the law, and he kind of stands up to test Jesus, and he says, teacher. And he asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he pretty much knows what it takes, but he's pretty much challenging Jesus like he's accustomed to being challenged most of the times. So Jesus looks at him, and rather than answer the question, he says to him, what's written in the law? So in other words, he turns the question back to him and said, what's written in the law? Basically, you know, you're asking me this question, but you pretty much know the answer already. How do you read it? You tell me, what does it take to inherit eternal life? So the law, expert stands up and he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he didn't get enough from that. He goes on to challenge him again, and he said, well, who is my neighbor? So Jesus looks at him, and he replies, He looks at him, and he replies pretty much who the neighbor is. And in looking at this, my computer went down. And looking at this, we began to look at what Jesus replied to him. And he said, there was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I began to kind of look it up to kind of find out a little bit about Jericho and the travel from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I think Pastor V said it was about 17 miles, if I'm not mistaken, but there are different responses as far as how many miles it was. So we'll go with 14 to 18 miles. That way we can kind of capture the whole amount, quite a bit of time to get from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it was pretty much a barren desert with lots of elevations, elevations sometimes as high as 3,300 feet, and that's pretty high. So you were going up and down, and the roads were pretty rough or whatever. And along the way, it's actually an area called Maldamoni. That's a tough one. That's a tongue twister for me. Maldamoni. And it's equivalent to the Greek terminology, which means accent of the red. And when it was explained, the name is actually given because of the blood that the bandits pretty much shed during this place, because this is pretty much where they hid out, the bandits, the robbers, or whatever you want to call them. Now, going down this road from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was always best to go in numbers. Because for the robbers and the bandits, this was pretty much prime real estate, because this is where they hid out so that they could rob folks that were traveling the road. Now, I'm not sure why the robber chose it, why the man chose it, and I think that's one of the questions that Pastor V actually had in the back of the book. But nevertheless, he did choose that particular route. I don't know if he was traveling by himself because he had to get somewhere quickly or whatever, but nevertheless, he ran into the robbers or whatever. Now, oftentimes, we ourselves, and I kind of compared it even to today's times, we ourselves, we actually end up traveling a certain road, maybe a destination, and we end up ourselves in certain situations traveling roads and wondering, how in the world did we get here? Oftentimes we fall on hard times, difficult times, rough times, rocky times, and we have elevations and valleys as far as our life is concerned. And we just begin to ponder and wonder, how did we get here? Now, here he's attacked by robbers, and they not only robbed him, but they stripped him. They took his clothes. I don't know if they took his clothes so he wouldn't run. I don't know if they took his clothes just out of meanness or whatever, because they could have easily just robbed the man and left him alone or left him for dead or whatever. But they took his clothes, they stripped him, and then they beat him, pretty much as we beat up in the troubles and with troubles in our lives. And then they went away, leaving him for dead, for nobody to help him. They pretty much gave up on him and just left him. Now, first, there was a priest that passed by, and we know by the word of God and our study that a priest is pretty much a representation of God. And what he did was he was traveling on the road, and when he saw the man, he actually got on the other side, pretty much the way that we as people do sometimes when we don't want to deal with situations. We kind of step over it. We ignore it. We pretend like it's not there. We kind of put it in the back of our heads, in the back of our minds, because we don't want to get caught up and we don't want to be involved. I've read several times, even in the news, where folks are being attacked or whatever, and they have bystanders or people that are just standing around. They may be videoing it or whatever, and they just kind of stand there and kind of watch it happen, and nobody jumps in to kind of help with the situation or even call 911. So here a Levite goes by as well, and we know from our study that he's a teacher, that Levites are teachers. So when he comes to the place, he sees him, and he passes on the other side as well. He didn't want to be bothered. He was he had a mission. I don't know where he was going. Pastor V kind of broke it down, like maybe he was going to kind of chill or whatever, have some wine and eat some bread or whatever, and he just didn't want to be bothered because he had plans. Then we have a Samaritan traveling, and he looks and he sees the man, and he really takes pity on him, and he actually goes over. He not only goes over, he takes care of his wounds. He cleans the wounds. He bandages the wounds. He puts the man on his donkey, and he takes him to the inn so that he can be taken care of. Now, what is interesting to me is that the next day he took out 2 denarius. Now, when I looked up 2 denarius, of course, there's different commentaries, there are different meanings as far as a denarius is concerned, but it was a single denarius, and one of the definitions was that it's pretty much equal to a penny, and this is what they pretty much got paid for the this is pretty much what the unskilled workers got paid on a daily basis. So when I looked at it, and I kind of tried to add it up or whatever, and I looked at some of the commentaries and some of the definitions as far as how much 2 denarius really were, and it said that it could be anywhere from 10 cents to $100 in today's times. So if we look at 2, it will probably be an estimate of about $72.50. So when you look at it, it was pretty much, it may have pretty much been all that the Samaritan had himself. So what he does is he gives it to the innkeeper, and he says, look, I need you to take care of him. Whatever he needs, pretty much just take care of it. And if it goes over these 2 denarians, then what I need you to do is just let me know. And when I come back, I'll make sure that I reimburse you and give you the extra expense that, you know, he may have caused or whatever that it may be. Now, which of these 3 do you think was the robber, was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers, is pretty much what Jesus asked the lawyer, the law, the expert that stood up, and he answers Jesus and said, the one who had mercy on him, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So now, when I looked up the word benevolence, I know Pastor Vera kind of gave us the definition or whatever, but I kind of wanted to explore it a little bit further. And the definition is pretty much kindness, kind-heartedness, big-heartedness, goodness, goodwill, compassion, consideration, thoughtfulness, public-spiritedness, social conscience, charity, humanity. And these are a lot of words that we simply don't have in today's world. When you look at all these definitions, these are things that we are lacking here today. I know that even living in Atlanta sometimes, and I'm sure in other parts of the states or whatever, You look at traffic, and you're trying to get in. If you make a wrong turn here, you just messed up. You just have to keep going and try to get off on the next exit because no one is going to let you in. And they actually speed up it to keep you from getting in. So, I mean, it's just like we're just not kind people anymore. A person can go through a door and they'll see you coming in behind them. Rather than hold the door, they'll let the door go on you rather than just simply holding the door. We just don't have simple courtesy anymore. I'm not sure where we lost that courtesy or where we lost it or whatever, but it's not getting any better. On yesterday, I saw a patient, and actually, when I looked at the chart, he actually had two first names. And I'm just going to give an example. This is not his name, of course. The name was Williams Jones. So I called him William, and I said, because I never say Mr. or Mrs. because I'm not sure, so I always call the patient by their last name. So I went to the door, called the patient, and up stood an elderly man. So when he came in the room, I looked at the chart, and I asked him, I said, Mr. Williams. And he said, actually, Williams is my first name. I was so apologetic because I felt terrible because this man was in his 80s, and we just don't have that respect for elders, even more so like we did even back in the days when I was growing up. I mean, it's just gone. And he was due the benevolence and the respect. So I really apologize. I was apologetic. He kept telling me it was okay, but I'm telling you, I really felt bad. Tell me how many of you have stopped somebody's wounds when they were down to show benevolence to a family or a family member or a close friend. I mean, oftentimes we get caught up and we do things for family members, we do things for friends or whatever, but that's not true benevolence. What about someone that you don't know, reaching back and helping to pull someone up? Amen. I mean, we just don't think or do those things anymore. Now, I'm reminded at a time when I myself, and this is all about sharing, I was a single parent at the time. I had two children. I had a car that was really not working that well, and I was just trying to make it. I was trying to get to work, trying to make ends meet. I had a lot of issues going on. I had just lost my mother in 80. I had lost my father in 87, and I just needed someone to just give me a little help. I wasn't asking for a handout. I wasn't asking for a whole lot of whatever. I just needed someone to reach back and just pull me up to help me along. I can remember a time when my car was broken and I couldn't afford to fix it. And used to catch a ride with a certain person to go to work or to get to work. And that person is actually on the line right now. That's Janice or Dr. Crenshaw. She'll never know how much I appreciated her doing that, and she probably never even gave it a second thought because that was just who she was. And it's not like we were the best of friends at that time, but the thing about it was we were growing a friendship or whatever, and she never once complained. She was always there to pick me up. She actually would take me to drop the kids off at the sitter. And the whole works, and for that I say thank you, because, I mean, all I needed was a hand up. Saying that, oftentimes we forget, oftentimes we forget the things that people do for us or the things that, you know, have helped us along the way, and simply we just need to reach back and pull someone else up. Actually, on this week, I'm going to give you all a challenge. I know we have some questions that we're going to go through, and I'm sorry, I got hoarse and I got a little choked up. But I tell you, God is good, and Janice, I do appreciate you. So one of the things that I want you all to do on this week, I want you to show some benevolence. You don't have to make a real big effort to do it. You don't have to look that far to do it. It's not hard, I promise you. But I just want you to say to yourself, rather than saying, and I know a lot of preachers say it today in the pulpits or whatever, they may say something like, God, how you going to bless me today? Why don't you flip that and say, God, show me somebody that I can bless today. Show me someone that I can show benevolence to. I know at one time they had this big thing going on at Starbucks. Well, when you would drive up, you would get your cup of coffee or whatever, and you would pay for the person behind you. Person behind you would pay for the person behind them. And I really gave that some thought one time, and I said, you know what, I'm a Starbucks. I love Starbucks. So I thought about that, and I said, oh, my God, if they come to Starbucks, most of them can afford to come to Starbucks, so you're really not doing a whole lot by buying a cup of coffee for someone that's in line behind you at Starbucks. So I want you just on this week, at least twice this week, to show benevolence. I want you to find someone that you can bless, looking in the grocery store, at a drive-thru, someone at work. You can secretly bless someone, someone that you know is struggling. You can slip $10 on a desk or whatever, and they'll never know it. But we just have to learn how, as God's people, to reach out and bless other folks and stop always looking for a handout. Amen. Elder Kevin, can you please open the lines for me?
Amen, Dr. Cole. All lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. All lines are open.
Praise God. Thank you. Now, one of the questions that I really want to kind of focus on, and I really want some feedback as far as those that are on the line. When we look at the robbers, and it's number four on the question. When we look at the robbers, they did three things to this man. They stripped him, they wounded him, and then they left him for dead. Tell me, how does that apply to something that you went through where someone has reached back and picked you up, if you could just do a comparison? Amen. Because we know this is how the enemy works. He strips you, he'll wound you, and then he'll leave you for dead. Amen. Everybody chiming in. So just tell me, those three things that happened with this man, apply that to you as far as a situation that you may have been through when somebody kind of reached and helped you along. I think I heard someone.
Praise the Lord. This is I'm thinking here, Dr. Sharon. And first of all, I want to say God bless you. You have a very good memory. I forgot all of that. Praise the Lord.
I know it.
But,
amen.
To God be the glory.
Yes.
I guess, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of some of those moments. You know, this, most of my moments is really when I, you know, during the time that my mother had passed away. I mean, I guess I've spent so much of my life giving and giving back, and then sometimes you get in a place where you assumed to be always strong and super strong, if you understand what I'm saying. And people sometimes take that lightly. And then, you know, sometimes we can spend so much of our energy and time giving back until we don't even recognize when we're bleeding, if that makes any sense, you know. So I can think back and, you know, reflect during the times, you know, certainly when my mother was, you know, really kind of ill, and God really blessed her with good health. But and you know, I just felt like, where was my support systems? You know, where were they? You know, I'm like, wow, where is everybody? You know, even down to, you know, my nieces, you know, some of them at the time. And I've always wondered, okay, now where is the support here? But, you know, I never forget that I had a friend, and she was always there to support if I needed that extra hand to go pick up something or something of that nature. You know, she was always there, you know, to actually do that. you know, because I had a, you have a lot on your plate. You know, I had, my kids were young, then my mother, I had all of that going on. So, you know, I was grateful that, you know, us being pastors, you know, but there was that one person that was always there, you know, that would always come by and make sure that, you know, if I needed extra hand with my mother or wanted to cook or something like that, you know, was always helpful. So, you know, when you reflect upon my life, when you spend a whole lot of your time just giving and giving out, sometimes you wear yourself out. You don't even know you're worn out, really. But it's always good to have that someone that's there that will kind of take the load off, you know. So, and I can say this, Dr. Sharon, and you know who this person is, praise the Lord. Back in the day, Sister Joyce, Underwood, such a precious soul. And I was in that, this is more of a emotional state, but I was in that place where I just, you know, was in that place where I couldn't get pregnant, you know, and wanted a child, and I think Victor and I were married about maybe 6.5 to 7 years, actually before I conceived. But she was always there to speak that word, you know, into my life, into that low moment. And I never forget, she gave me scriptures to put on my wall in my bedroom. And so I would wake up every morning and do exactly what she said. I read those scriptures, kept reading the scriptures, and praise the Lord. In a few months, or probably even months, I finally conceived. So, you know, you think about those emotional moments, those low moments, when somebody's there to really lift you up. And sometimes, you know, people never know what you're really going through, but then God will place spiritual people in your life that could be able to discern and actually see. So, you know, I'm grateful for that, because those were two challenging moments in my life, and it's always good to have somebody around that can help, you know, pick you up and take you to the next place.
Yes. Oh, amen. Thank you for sharing that. And I know oftentimes we feel like, I guess, pastors and those in leadership and ministry, we feel like they don't hurt when they do. And I don't know if it's that people are afraid to reach out, or they just don't think about it, or like you just said, they feel like you're strong and you can handle it, when all you need really is just someone to be there for you, that to know that you have someone that you can just lean on. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. Would anybody else like to share? Okay, moving on. Question number 13. I really couldn't let this one go without bringing it up, and it is, what do you feel when you see a beggar on the street? What are some of the thoughts that go through your mind, and how do you respond? And I want you all to be really honest and think this one through and just share with me, how do you feel when you see a beggar? Amen.
Good question. Very good question.
I'm sorry.
I was just thinking, Dr. Sharon, because you know we see so much of that, and I quite frankly, you know, sometimes I look and I can't say what really goes through my mind. I know what goes through my mind somewhat is that part of you, you know, part of you thinks about safety, because a lot of times you really want to reach out and give, and you think, oh my God, if they, you know, open this car and pull me out or something, you know, all kind of crazy things you go in your mind. You know, I'm serious. I'm really being transparent and honest. I'm being honest with you.
Yeah,
because many times I have felt you know, the desire, you know, to reach out and, you know, give somebody something. And because most of the time it's males, to be honest, and I'm a female.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it's males that you see. And that safety thing triggering your brain, you know, because you
right.
think, you say people are just crazy these days, you know, will they, you know, get my arm, pull me out the car, try to get, I don't know. Some of those
right.
things really. And even though there's a passion to want to give. Now, a lot of times if I'm at a stoplight or something and somebody's there and that's not necessarily big, or if they're, you know, trying to raise funds for something, you know, I will reach out and give that. But the first thing that really comes to my mind in this season, you know, there's a
mm-hmm.
heart and a passion here. I always think about the safety issue, and I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
people jump in the
uh-huh.
car with you, you just don't know. You just don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Would anybody else like to share? It's not a right or wrong answer. It's an honest answer. It really makes you kind of do some soul searching and really think. And I'll go ahead and share. I look at the human side, and like you, Dr. Crenshaw, I think about my safety. And then the first thing I do is pretty much, and like I say, it's the human side of me. I look down at the shoes and the clothes, and I'm saying, okay, if they got on nice tennis shoes, or if the shoes are not dirty or whatever, or the clothes are not dirty, then are they really beggars, or are they really on the streets or homeless? And then I think about the emotional side of me, and I think, okay, that could have been me, or it could have been one of my kids, or it could have been someone that is near and dear to my heart, a family member or a loved one. And then, of course, I always jump into the spiritual side, and I think about the Good Samaritan and knowing that this is what God requires. One of the things that happened just recently, my daughter and I, we were out doing some shopping, trying to get ready for the wedding and all, and we were, I'm not sure what area of town we were on. She had me all over the place. But we were out, and it was a guy that was on the scene. You could tell he was mentally ill. And we were walking into the bakery because we were going to do some cake tasting or whatever. And the guy asked for money. And I normally don't open my purse and give money, especially if they're on the street, because like you said, Dr. Crenshaw, think about safety. So what I did was I asked him, I said, are you hungry? And he said, yes, ma'am. So I told him, I said, well, come on. I said, we're going to the bakery. And I said, and then it's pizza place up here, and I'll order you a slice of pizza and whatever you want to drink or whatever. So when we get to the pizza shop, I opened the door, and around, and he had taken off, and he had ran. And I was like, where are you going? And he said, well, they told me not to come back in here. And I was like, okay, it's not funny, but I didn't know what he was doing because, I mean, he took off running. My daughter looking at me, and I'm looking at her like, what in the world? So I said, okay, well, once I get the pizza, I'll bring it back out to you. So, again, the first thing I think about is my safety, and I'm like, okay, did this man go in there and harass people, or did he try to hurt someone, or did, you know, I mean, what's going on that they would put him out? But then I said, you know, with him having a mental illness, I don't know if he did something kind of out of character that scared someone in the pizza place, and maybe they told him not to come back. I don't know. But, yes, I think about all those aspects. I think the secular, the human part, the spiritual part, and, of course, the emotional part as well. Amen. Would anyone else like to share? Amen. Got a quiet group tonight. Okay. All right. So, with that being said, we will look at chapter 8 and probably chapter 9. Yeah, I think chapter 8 and chapter 9 on next week, and that's a patient heart and also a joyful heart. And of course, that will be here for the women's get together, the meeting, the fellowship, the sisterhood. I'm looking forward to it. If I could just get a head count so that I can make sure that there is plenty of food. So come out with an empty stomach and a heart to receive spiritually, and we will just have a good time just like we did last time. Amen. And I'll turn it over to you, Dr. Mm-hmm. Crenshaw, for any announcements.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I just want to certainly pray for Danica. She's not on the call tonight, but her sister, they're funeralizing her this weekend. I think it's tomorrow. So we just certainly want to continue to hold her up in prayer. And Father, we pray even now for the strength of their family. And we pray, God, that you would embrace them with your love, with your care. And Father, we thank you even now, even for safe travel. Father, even in the midst of their bereavement, we pray that the peace and the grace of God will continue to cover and protect their lives. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus.
And amen. I just
amen.
Want to, you know, put them out there to certainly be praying for them. Who are those that are listening now and those that are listen later? I think the reflection of this particular lesson is very, very powerful. Because in all that we do, we should never forget to show that sense of love, because we never know when we're going to be in a low place. And we just don't know. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I mean, we're looking at today, but the reality is we really don't know. So we have to truly trust and depend upon the Lord and realize that the seeds that we plant will certainly come up and they will grow. And we want to plant good seeds so that certain people can receive good rewards. So thank you so very much, Dr. Sharon, for this lesson tonight, and for those that are listening and those that will listen later. We're certainly looking forward to the fellowship on next week. I think it's 4 o'clock, right?
Amen.
And we're looking forward to that, and pray that God will continue to bless and inspire
Amen.
Lord, if you want to lead us out with a song or something of that nature, Dr. Sharon is back to you, but I'm grateful to the Lord for what he's doing. This has been a blessing to me, and I'm sure it has been a blessing to others, some of the other ladies that I've had the opportunity to talk to offline. And it has certainly been a very blessed and empowering moment. I know some people were a bit quiet, and then I always have something to say that they could say. We pray that the words that are spoken will certainly be a blessing to you. Amen?
Amen. Amen. All right. Elder Kevin, it's over to you.
Amen. Well, thank you so much.
Amen.
Dr. Cole, thank you so much. What a powerful, powerful program, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, some closing announcements here, that the program is recorded and available for downloading and listening. Also, too, we'd like to invite you back for next week as well, same time, Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, ladies and gentlemen. We also invite you to come and worship with us at Kingdom Life Worship Center, ladies and gentlemen, where Bishop John and Dr. Janice Crenshaw are senior pastors. Kingdom Life Worship Center, ladies and gentlemen, is a non-denominational, full gospel, five-fold ministry church that happens to have services on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Kingdom Life Worship Center is located at 390 Glen Street, North Fayetteville, Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. That's 390 Glen Street, North Fayetteville, Georgia, across from the Dairy Queen. That's Saturday at 11 a.m. And for more details, ladies and gentlemen, give me a call, Elder Kevin Vaughn, at 404-401-0233, 404-401-0233. And for those who love giving to the Lord, of course, and maybe the tithes, gifts, and offering, ladies and gentlemen, you can also send your donations and your gifts to Kingdom Life Worship Center. If you'd like to donate to the ministry, ladies and gentlemen, you can send it through Cash App and also PayPal. The Cash App address, ladies and gentlemen, is $KLWC. That's KLWC. That's $KLWC. ATL for Cash App. And for PayPal, ladies and gentlemen, for those who like PayPal, go to JCPrayer jcconf@aol.com. Once again, that's jcconf@aol.com. Again, for more details, I'll be glad to text you and send you the information as well via your email or your phone. Just give me a call at 404-401-0233 for the announcements and information. Once again, 404-401-0233. Well, ladies and gentlemen, take care. We want you to have a great evening and want you to have a great weekend. We thank Dr. Cole for all that she does on the network, and we thank God for you as well. Such a blessing. We'll see you next time, ladies and gentlemen. It's been Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole, host and facilitator, and involved right now with the book, Cultivating My Heart, by Pastor Lee Ray Warner. I love it. What a powerful, powerful time. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, Jesus is Lord. Bye-bye. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. This has been another broadcast of Women's Talk with Dr. Sharon Cole. We'll see you next week, Lord willing, in Jesus' name. God bless you now. We'll see you.